as long as you're not driving or something, I want you to close your eyes for about 10 seconds and just listen. That is the sound of the end of winter. That's the sound of all of us making it through the past few months with our hope intact. It is the sound of better things to come. I mean that as a metaphor, because baseball and spring are always intertwined, but I also mean it literally. In Florida, right now the Blue Jays are playing spring training games. That means that spring is almost here. I know not everybody loves baseball or even really cares about it, but regardless, you know when it happens on the calendar. And you know what happens next. Better things are coming. And now, literally, those sounds that you heard were the sounds of Blue Jays players hitting and throwing and catching. And if you do care at all about baseball, even a little bit, you likely know that the guys who are doing that hitting and throwing and catching this year are better than they were last year, when they were actually a very promising young team. So literally, on the field, better things are coming. This winter was hard. This whole past year has been incredibly hard, and it's not over yet. But we're getting there. We're closing in on the finish line, and this is what that sounds like. I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings. This is The Big Story, and if you stick around until the end of today's interview, we will play you a full 2 minutes of glorious, beautiful baseball springtime sounds. Stephen Brunt is a writer, an author. He's the co-host of Writer's Block on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and he's been covering baseball for a while. A lot of spring trainings. Hello, Stephen.
Hey, Jordan. How you doing?
I'm doing much better than I was about a week ago when there were no baseball games being played. It's hopeful.
Yeah, it's funny how that works, isn't it? Don't matter what the circumstances, and Lord knows these are circumstances, that you can look at something happening far away in a very different place, games that don't count, that don't matter, and still feel revived and feel that the world is turning on its axis and that the seasons are progressing as they're supposed to and that hope abounds. It is all cliches apply when it comes to spring training.
Well, that's why we wanted to talk to you. I mean, you've done this a few times now. What does spring training do to you? What does it mean to you?
I think it is that sense of kind of continuity. The first time I went to spring training was many, many years ago. I was thinking about this the other day. I was sent down to write a magazine profile of Jimmy Williams, who had just taken over as the manager of the Toronto Blue Jays after Bobby Cox left. So that Bobby Cox left after the 1985 season. And which the first time the Blue Jays made the playoffs, and Jimmy Williams came in, so it was that off season. So I forgive me for not being able to do the math, but a long time ago. But and the most amazing thing is I haven't been there every year since, but I've been there a lot of those years since. And I think what's kind of startling is how little has changed. There are aspects of it have changed, and the stadium's changed a little bit, and things around baseball have changed, but that the ritual of, you know, a bunch of ball players kind of gathering in the sunshine and stretching and playing catch and taking batting practice and doing kid stuff, that hasn't changed one bit. And I bet it, you know, that's 30 years. And I think if you went back 30 years before that or 30 years before that, it probably pretty much the same.
Well, that's what I was going to say next, is just that, you know, it's not even 30 years ago, like this link between baseball and spring and rebirth is something that the most famous sports authors in the world have been waxing poetically about for, you know, more than 100 years now.
Yeah, well, we'd like to get out of the winter. I think that's part of it. You know, like all of us love it, right? Because we get first crack at it. We get to leave wherever we are in February and head to somewhere that's much nicer. And so there, that is, it's a great ritual for sports writers. Look, I'm going to be honest about it. It's not the toughest gig in the world. They play exhibition games. The players are friendly. Everybody, the teams are undefeated. There's no pressure. It's the easiest time to talk to people and interview people. The pace is leisurely. You know, I think the longest stretch I ever spent down in Florida at the Jays complex was almost a month 1 year. And it's the same day over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a reason why we like it personally, and there's a reason why we like it professionally, because it's a time to, you know, get to know the players, get to know the coaching staff, the manager in a less formal way, in a less pressured way, to kind of understand the team coming together. And, you know, look, some years you go down there and you know the team's got no hope to be good, but, you know, maybe you're seeing players who will turn up in 2 years or 3 years. Some years you go down there and the expectations are really high, and it's very exciting that way. And, you know, there are disappointments and there are happy surprises as the season plays out. But for that stretch when you're in Florida or Arizona, it's, you know, it's all good news, really. You know, somebody might get hurt, but otherwise there's no bad news.
Well, we're going to talk about the Blue Jays and high expectations in just a second. But it's interesting because, you know, you mentioned that the players are in a good mood because they're undefeated. And, you know, we played some clips off of the top in the intro that are just some sounds that our producer Ryan Clark put together of just bats on balls and balls hitting gloves. And, you know, I wonder if it feels that way for the fans too. You know, there's something about just being able to listen to the game or see the game or think about it without, like, oh crap, we're 3.5 games behind with 27 games left and we got two series against the Yankees. And this is just like, just watch them play.
Yeah, I think that is part of it. I think that is part of the pleasure. And seeing the a kid whose name you've heard, you know, a prospect who's going to be playing somewhere in the low minor leagues is the season, but there he is. That's what he looks like. Or a veteran player trying to hang on and make the team, or, you know, there are very few consequences. You know, there's nothing hanging over anybody's head at that point. Now, there are jobs to be won and jobs to be lost among the players. That part's actually, you know, can get a little more intense as you get towards the end of spring training. But to sit there, you know, if you're lucky enough to be there and sitting in the stands as a fan in the sunshine, it's just, you really, with a beer in hand, watching a game play out, they sub in a bunch of players who are unfamiliar about halfway through. There's really, you don't have to care in the world, right? There's nothing to get tense about, nothing to be nervous about. You can have a nice baseball conversation with the person next to you. And, you know, you can even, look, if you're tired of it, you can even leave in the sixth inning and probably not miss too much.
Right. It can't hurt this year for fans really feeling the hope and the return of spring around baseball that, I mean, the Blue Jays have a team worth getting excited about for the first time in a real few years here, right?
They absolutely do. Yeah, this is a fun time if you're a fan, is watching a team just starting to put together the foundation of a team that could win a World Series. And, you know, Jays fans have had a rough ride since the 2015 and 2016 were great, you know, back in the playoffs and very exciting, and, you know, the bat flip game and all of that. But, you know, those were old teams. They weren't sustainable. And the process since, the 5-year process, has been, you know, kind of taking apart that old team, letting some familiar faces go, which wasn't fun. You know, watching the end of careers or guys go and play in other uniforms, hearing about players that have been signed, players that have been drafted, and while they progress through the minor leagues, suffering through some, you know, a couple of pretty awful major league seasons that were, you know, as bad as some of the very early years when the Jays were coming out of as an expansion team. But, you know, here's the payoff, that suddenly you've got a group of young stars. You have some big free agent signings. You were Ryu last year, George Springer this year, Marcus Semien. They've gone out and spent money aggressively in the offseason. There's a sense of confidence, and, you know, they're coming off, albeit in the weirdest season of our lives, a 60 game season with an expanded playoff format. The Blue Jays did make the playoffs last year.
Tell me about that team a little bit, because that was kind of a glimmer of hope. And look, last summer was not easy either. The whole last year hasn't been easy, but that was a nice little 60 game, like, oh, hey, something might be happening here.
Yeah, exactly. It was a kind of a preview. And if they had played a normal 162 game schedule last year, I don't think the Jays probably would have been in a normal playoff format. I'm not sure they would have been in the playoffs. I don't think they would have been. But the 60 games kind of, you know, was a small sample size. There were, you know, two more teams in the playoffs in each league, so that gave them more of a chance. And, you know, but they got some really encouraging performances, especially from, you know, again, players who are just starting to become what they're going to be. And, you know, there's a lot of confidence. It's a very confident team. It has the kind of confidence, the unshakable confidence of youth. And, you know, I think all of those things put together in that it just was like a little appetizer. And you know, you don't come off that and say, boy, they're on the verge of winning a World Series. But you could look at it and, you know, and realistically, you know, without deluding yourself, say this is a good team. And, you know, people in baseball are talking about Bo Bichette and Nate Pearson and Vladdy Guerrero Jr. and Kevin Biggio, some of the young players on this team. Like, there's a consensus around baseball. It's not just a Blue Jay fan thing that they are on the road to something pretty good.
And then I guess over the winter, we saw something which had happened a little bit the previous offseason, but certainly I think lots of Jays fans would tell you doesn't happen often, which is management looked at the timeline maybe and looked at the performance of those young kids and decided to just push.
Yeah, it's interesting because not just management, but ownership, you know, stepping up and, you know, going against the grain of what was happening in the baseball business almost everywhere else. Because, you know, again, remember, baseball's coming off a 60-game season. No fans in stands except in the playoffs, just a handful of fans in the stands for the playoffs. So they incurred the same cost. They got their television money, but they didn't sell any tickets. And it was a terrible financial year for the sport, it just like it is for everyone, right? But, you know, but heading into this offseason and heading into the 2021 season, there's still loads of uncertainty about, you know, are they going to have any ticket revenue this year? Are you going to have some ticket revenue? So most organizations in baseball just pulled in their horns and said, we're not going to spend. And so, the normal, very active free agent market was really flat this year, except for a handful of teams, and the Jays were one of those teams. And there was a little preview of it, as I alluded to, you know, with Hyunjin Ryu being signed the year before. That was kind of a declaration that the organization felt it's time to start augmenting these young players with what we can get, some players we can get in free agency. But going out and getting George Springer, who, you know, the best position player really available this offseason, you know, that was a big statement and a show of faith. You know, show of faith from ownership and a show of faith from management in terms of how close they think the team is.
Tell me a little bit about the two key offseason signings. You mentioned Springer. There's also Marcus Semien, and how they fit in to this team, both in terms of on the field, but also in terms of what they're building, because that's something that the GM has spoken a lot about.
Yeah, they're both really interesting signings. George Springer, you know, who is signed a long-term deal with the team. He was a member of the Astros team that won the World Series. Of course, you know, there was the scandal with the Astros team. He was a member of that team as well. A center fielder, which the Jays didn't really have, a very, you know, one of the most important defensive positions on the field, along with shortstop. It's a big deal to have a good defensive center fielder. He's a very good defensive center fielder, but a great offensive player, natural leadoff hitter, you know, one of the best offensive players in the game. And also a guy who, you know, I think they like his makeup a lot. They like the kind of person he is. They like what he's going to bring to the clubhouse, the confidence, the experience of being in a winning organization. You know, all of those intangibles, I know it's easy to dismiss them, but every organization that I know of and just every sport that I know of is looking for, you know, talks about culture these days, the culture in the clubhouse or the dressing room. And he brings that, as does, you know, and that's also one of the kind of calling cards for Marcus Semien. He's come over on a 1-year deal, so it's not as much of a long-term commitment, but a guy who is a year and a bit removed from being an MVP candidate with Oakland. He was a shortstop in Oakland. He'll play second base for the Jays, but shores up the infield defense. Could be, potentially a plus-plus offensive player, a guy who has the potential to hit 25 or 30 home runs. And again, another guy whose clubhouse locker room reputation is impeccable. He's regarded as one of the, the real good guys and smart guys in baseball. So, it means displacing, some players or moving players around who you've brought up through the organization. There's not a chair for everybody sometimes when the music stops. But, both moves that, objectively, will make the team better this year and advance them, some distance towards being a contending team in the American League.
It's one thing for Toronto Blue Jays fans to get super excited about what they're looking for going into this season. Lots of them have done that a lot and been disappointed a lot. You touched on it a bit earlier. You talked to a ton of people in the game on writer's block. What are they saying about how this team is shaping up? What are the expectations? You talk to the Jays and they say they want to win a World Series, and great. But, what's the cold analysis on this team?
Oh, I think that, their offseason has been, was rated as one of the best, if not the best offseason that any organization had. There's loads of excitement around players like Bo Bichette, and Vladdy Jr., Vladdy Jr., who hasn't really hit his stride yet, but obviously was one of the most hyped prospects to ever arrive in Toronto. Nate Pearson, who throws an easy 100 miles an hour, is one of the best pitching prospects in the game. I think in general, there's consensus that the organization has done a really nice job of accumulating young talent. And not just the guys who are there now, but another wave coming behind them and then a wave coming behind those guys, that they position themselves, not just to be a one-year wonder or a two-year wonder, but to be a consistent contender, which is the hardest thing to do. It's you can sell out for a year and try and win, but sometimes you pay a big price for that in the immediate future. The idea, what Mark Shapiro, Ross Atkins have tried to do with this team is build something that will sustain, where that you're a playoff team every year and you have opportunities to win every year. And in the case of the Jays, when they get back home, what we have seen, what we saw in 2015, 2016 is that, and ownership saw it as well, is that if you win in Toronto, you can fill that park. Like, this is a big market. And you have a national television audience, that there's a reward for this. And you don't have to, it's not theoretical, because everybody saw what happened, that suddenly there's 40,000 plus people in the dome and the TV numbers were enormous. So, you also have the potential to have the cash return from that success, which then can fuel keeping that contender, keeping your own players, extending your young players, going into the free agent market when you can. Like, you don't want to be a one and done. You want to be... Yeah. A team, the Tampa Rays do a great job with no money, but, this could be an organization that has, the smarts and the wherewithal and really good talent development, but also the cash resources to compete, not quite with the Yankees, but with just about everybody else.
Well, lastly, just to get back to the hopes and dreams and return of spring, you picture this team next year, maybe, because it doesn't look like it'll be this year, but opening day down at the ballpark. And what does that mean to a city that's had a rough ride the last couple of years here?
I think a lot of folks are dreaming on that day when you could walk into the ballpark with the crowd, again, remembering, even if you weren't around for the World Series years, if you were around for the 15 and 16 and remembering what a buzz it was, how much fun it was. That kind of excitement around the ballpark. And I am, I'm choosing to be optimistic because I think the alternative is not that great right now. But I think maybe by September, maybe there'll be people in the ballpark for a pennant race this year. I don't think that's crazy thinking. There are going to be people in ballparks in the United States.
Yep.
And, if the arrows point in the right direction and you can open the roof and it's an outdoor facility and the Jays are in a pennant race, it might not be all of us packed in there shoulder to shoulder, but I think of maybe a sunny day in September and the Jays are right there with the Yankees for the American League East. This might as well have something to look forward to, right?
I almost teared up hearing you say that. So, yes. Stephen, thank you for taking the time to do this for us.
Hey, always a pleasure, Jordan.
Stephen Brunt of Sportsnet. The Big Story is produced by Stephanie Phillips, Claire Broussard, and Ryan Clark. I am Jordan Heath Rawlings. Spring is almost here. Take care of yourself. Enjoy the weekend. Before we go, I wanted to make sure you get a chance to close your eyes, meditate, turn your brain off, whatever it is you do to feel at peace and dream of spring. Here's a couple of minutes. We'll talk Monday.
I'm Laura Palmer, host of Island Crime. Season 6, Sweethearts, is the story of three teenage girls who were all murdered in Victoria, Canada, within about 12 months.
So she was scared. Something out there scared her.
You've just created the playground where predators can really thrive.
She was a 16-year-old girl. She was a sweetheart.
Listen to Sweethearts at frequencypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get podcasts.
Find your frequency.